Hi, this is Marlena Lieber welcoming you to Blind Spot. Blind Spot is a series of programs heard this time each week on ACB Radio where we talk no-tech, low-tech kinds of things. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to hear on Blind Spot, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Hello, and welcome to Blind Spot. This is Marlena Lieberg. One of the joys of doing Blind Spot is it gives me an opportunity to actually hear the voices behind some of the people I've seen on the screen. And this week, we're going to spend a little bit of time with just such a person. Mika White, who most of us know as Miss Mika, lives in Augusta, Georgia, and has done something that I just think is pretty darn cool. And I'm going to let her talk a little bit about that. But first, Mika, welcome to Blind Spot.
Well, thank you, Marlena.
It's so nice to finally hear you.
Nice to hear your voice as well. I've seen many emails by you.
Uh-oh. Either that means I'm addicted or... but we don't want to go there.
Okay.
So what school are you attending now?
I attend Augusta State University. My major is English with an emphasis in creative writing.
That sounds pretty interesting. And I bet you find that the adaptive technology really helps you now.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine how nice it must be now to be a student. Boy, I don't want to tell you how old I am, Mika, but when I was in school, I remember when cassette recorders came out.
Well, they're still very handy.
Very diplomatic answer. Oh, my. So the thing that I most wanted to talk to you about this week for Blind Spot was this fascinating trip that you took. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the organization? I believe it's Mobility International.
Yes, the organization is Mobility International, USA, and we always refer to it affectionately as MIUSA.
I love it.
Mobility International is a nonprofit organization which is based in Eugene, Oregon. And it was founded in 1981 by Susan Siegel and Barbara Williams, both of which were very influential in the disabilities movement.
Uh-huh.
And one of the main goals of Mobility International is to empower persons with disabilities through exchange and international opportunities. I was in a program called Cross-Cultural Perspectives for Disabilities. And we went to Costa Rica for 16 days. One of our goals was to strengthen relations between the U.S. and Costa Rica, and also to learn more about their laws, as well as see a good portion of Costa Rica.
So all of the people who went with you were people with disabilities, is that right?
Yes. There were 10 other delegates along with myself and also several staff, which many of the staff also had disabilities.
Wow, that is cool. How did you find out about MIUSA?
Well, let's see. About last year, or this year in April, I'm still on the school calendar here, the coordinator of disability services at my school said, Mika, these people at Mobility International are just calling me, and I told them that I think I have just the right person for this trip. So I want you to fill out this application. And at first, I just sort of thought, I'd love to go, but I don't think I'll get accepted. But I'll fill it out anyway. And along with filling out such an application, you have to do a lot of writing with all the essays that they ask you.
Sure.
So that's basically how I found out about it. I'm very happy that I did.
So you applied to be considered to go on the exchange.
Yes.
And then about how long from the time you applied until you actually found out did you have to wait?
I'd say, let's see, I got my application in right on the deadline.
Sounds like my kind of girl, Mika.
Oh, yes, everything was late.
That's right. I mean, why hurry when you got time, you know?
Exactly. Well, there's always tomorrow.
That's right. You, me, and Scarlett, right?
That's right. I would say about, let's see, there was 2 weeks in between the time I was actually interviewed after the application was turned in, and then after that, oh, I'd say another 2 weeks. After the interview. So about a month.
So you had to sort of like sit on pins and needles for a month and kind of dream about it and wish about it and hope about it and then decide, nah, they weren't going to take you. And then maybe they'll take me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back to the process a little bit just in case anyone else is listening who might be interested. And before we're through, maybe you can give out some contact information either for you or for Mayusa. Great. You filled out your application and then they interviewed you?
Yes, they called me back and interviewed me. And they asked me even more questions about, you know, what did I think I could bring to the organization and to this trip? What would I like to share with my other delegates?
Uh-huh. And that was a phone interview.
Yes, it was.
And was it like a panel interview?
Well, there were two people, and they were very nice, but I was very nervous. So they sort of took turns asking questions.
Uh-huh. And then about 2 weeks after that, did you receive a letter in the mail?
They called me back and said, Mika, you've been accepted, and I nearly dropped the phone.
Oh, that's cool. So then I bet it really began after that when you had to start making preparations.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because I had to get a passport.
Uh-huh. And about how much time between the time when they called you and the departure date did you have?
About 2 or 3 months. 3 months, I think.
So it's still not a really long time.
No.
Yeah.
No, because this came up rather quickly. I mean, it was very last minute for me. And
tell me about the trip there. I gather that you guys met somewhere, you flew somewhere. And how did all that work out?
Well, there was a 2-day orientation in Houston. So my school actually paid for my air ticket there. And we went to Houston, and I met everyone in the hotel, and we all sat around and started talking, and our group, we just bonded so quickly.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, yes.
And was everyone around your age?
Yes, pretty much, because it was between the ages of 17, 25.
Oh, cool. So you had this 2-day orientation. What kinds of things did you cover in the orientation?
We talked about culture shock, emergency procedures, and just about what were our expectations? What did we hope to come back with? What were our goals for this exchange?
Mm-hmm. And what were some of yours?
Some of my goals was to gain a deeper appreciation for other cultures,
mm-hmm.
To sort of work out my own philosophy for persons with disabilities, you know, just to come back with a deeper commitment to what we have here and to ensuring that we keep the ADA and that things are enforced.
Oh, right on. That is certainly, we need more people to have that kind of commitment. That's for sure. So after your orientation, then did you guys hop on another plane? And
yes, we left actually on the 3rd, got up very early. And we had also talked about customs and things like that and how we would go through that. And so we went on a plane to San Jose, Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, wow.
And then it began.
Oh, yes, then it began.
So tell us about that. What's the first thing you remember? What were your impressions? What was going on in your mind?
Oh, I was very nervous, but I was also very excited because I'd heard so much about Costa Rica and the people there. And how warm everyone was. So as soon as we got off of the plane, customs, everything was just so laid back. Customs just waved us through. And that's where we met our Costa Rican hosts, the people who had coordinated all of our programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
mm-hmm.
thought, wow, what an exciting time.
And did you actually stay in other people's houses?
Yes. The next day we had a welcome party or welcome reception, and each of us stayed with our own individual homestay families.
Oh, tell us about your family.
Well, my family consisted of a mother and her 15-year-old daughter, and actually my homestay mom is blind.
Ah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. And I have very little Spanish-speaking skills.
Uh-huh.
I'd taken 2 years of it in high school, but hadn't really had a whole lot of time to practice. Between their limited English and my limited Spanish, communication was very creative.
I bet. Give us an example. How did you get your point across, and how did you understand them?
Let's see. The 15-year-old daughter was taking English in her high school, and so she had this little Spanish to English translating dictionary. she was very, very sharp. You know, I would ask her something, like a verb, and she would translate it in Spanish for me, and so I'd ask in Spanish. Or I would usually point to things. I guess the best phrase I ever learned is, ¿Qué es eso en español? And that means, what is this in Spanish?
Well, that's neat. So how did you fill your days?
Well, our days were very, very full. We had gotten a schedule of everything that we were going to be doing, and so everything was just planned out so well. For example, one day we went to the University of Costa Rica and met with students with disabilities there. And we talked about accommodations and their classes and, you know, what to do when their professors didn't want to accommodate them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of educational things like that, and we also did some sightseeing, or, you know, we took an aerial tram through the rainforest.
Oh, wow.
We went to the botanical gardens,
mm-hmm.
where I actually ran into a tree. Found out that the bark there is just as hard as it is here.
It hurts just as much to cross a new tree there as here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. There are some things in the world that are the same all over.
That's right. Very universal.
That's funny. Well, now, back to the students at university. What kinds of things were they talking about, or did they ask you guys for advice on things, or what were some of their issues as blind students?
Well, I guess the biggest issue for blind students there, and it wasn't just students who were blind, it was with many different disabilities, but their computers on campus, there are no speech programs on the computers on their particular campus. And so in order just to do work, they had to go to another organization that had 5 accessible computers that they could use. But that was, you know, that can be very time-consuming and extremely out of the way. And I think that...
Oh, sure.
You know.
So did you give them some strategies about how to improve that at their school?
We basically exchanged ideas because a lot of people had asked us, you know, how did the ADA... get passed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own law, which is called the Equal Opportunities Law for Persons with Disabilities, which was only passed 4 years ago, so it's still very new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we told them, you know, it takes organization, it takes people, it takes a group of committed people who are ready and willing to see change and who are willing to do whatever it takes in order for that change to happen.
Boy, you couldn't have said it any better than that. The ADA, of course, is just constantly being challenged, and we're constantly having to keep up the struggle to keep what we've won. So it's you, the way you phrased it, I think is just perfect. The work is just never done, is it?
Oh, no.
So what other kinds of things did you come away with from Costa Rica, either culturally or in terms of services, or what's kind of some things that will always stay in your mind about that trip?
Wow. Culturally speaking, there's a phrase in Costa Rica, and the phrase is pura vida, which means pure life. And they're just so laid back and relaxed. And, you know, we in America are just go, 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 fast-paced, you know, go for a meal at McDonald's because it's only 5 minutes, where to cook fried chicken is like 45. You know, do this, do that. And sometimes we just don't take time to realize and appreciate everything that we have that's around us. And sometimes we just miss the joy of life. So I think I've come back with just a relaxed attitude, not a laziness type of an attitude, but just an attitude of, you know, in this fast-paced world, there are still things that I can enjoy and things that I can come away with.
What kinds of differences did you notice in terms of the disability piece? How do they compare with what we have?
Well, they're really working on getting accessible transportation and curb cuts and things like that. But there aren't, I haven't seen a lot of curb cuts. And that was one of the things, you know, that Mobility International had asked us, how flexible are we willing to be in a situation that may not be ideally accessible?
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a whole lot of buses with wheelchair lifts.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, you know, lifted people in wheelchairs on buses and things like that. But they're coming a long way. They've seen a lot of change with their law. But they still have quite a ways to go. And we in America, the ADA is about 10 years old, and we still have quite a ways to go ourselves.
Boy, we certainly do. We certainly do. And again, it gets back to this issue of people working together.
Exactly.
If we don't work together, we will lose. We'll lose a great deal. Well, now, do you see yourself going back to Costa Rica?
I would love to go back. I think the last night that we were in Costa Rica, all of our groups, because we all really bonded, you know, we were talking about we want to come back here. So I think that there's definitely some future plans to go back.
And tell me about the people in your group. You said there were 10 people?
Yes, there were 10 delegates and several staff members. And, wow, those are just the most awesome group of people that I've ever met in my life. They were just so caring and just really excited, and we were all really kind of nervous, and so we went through that together. All of us went through quite a learning process and a growing process and sort of figuring out who we were and what changes we wanted to see. And part of this trip was also developing leadership skills. And so I think that a lot of us discovered untapped leadership abilities.
And give me an example. What do you mean by that? How? What caused you to make those discoveries?
Well, Maisa had several seminars planned, and not just, you know, they weren't like the boring, I talk to you and you just listen, but it was just a lot of group interaction. Also, every day there was a different leader of the day from the group. And I know for me that was a really different experience because I wasn't used to standing up and being a leader of a large group and telling everyone, you know, this is what I think we should do, or, you know, listening to ideas, facilitating discussions and things like that. You know, there were things that that leader of the day just sort of had to think about, and just little choices that we had to make that we weren't used to making sometimes. From the basic, you know, how many of you want pizza for lunch kind of thing, you know, picking out which restaurant, because, you know, no matter what restaurant you pick, there may be always someone that's never happy with
it. Yep.
And you don't want to have to take the flack for that.
Yeah, you got it.
And to basic, you know, what am I going to ask this group? Because we had several discussions with different organizations in Costa Rica, exchanging ideas about the law and exchanging personal stories and things of that nature. So, you know, how am I going to facilitate this discussion? What am I going to ask? How am I going to get past the language barrier? You know,
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, now, will you stay in touch with your host mom?
Oh, yes. She, the morning before I left, she brailled her apartment number and her address and all that stuff for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they have any internet capability?
My family doesn't, but the neighbor next door does. So as soon as he emails me, I'm going to email him. And that's another thing. In Costa Rica, one thing that I noticed was that there were a lot of internet cafes. Like in McDonald's, if you go in and buy a meal, you can use their computer for 30 minutes. And I was thinking, why don't we have internet cafes in America? And someone said, well, that's because basically every American home has a computer.
Yeah, except I'll tell you, in the city of Seattle, we have them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They're very trendy little places. You know, in the city of Seattle, we can't survive without our coffee. and so in these kind of yuppie coffee places, there are frequently internet stations, and you can sit down at this internet station and you can get your triple shot mocha, skinny, no whip, 20-ounce venti, whatever you want, and then you can get on the internet and
wow.
You can go do your thing. But
you keep talking about that, Marlene, and I think there's going to be a lot of people on their way to Seattle.
Well, that would be great. Then we could storm the joints and make them have accessible computers.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah, see that? Well, now, Mika, how can other people have this wonderful opportunity? How can they apply? Who do they call? What do they do?
Okay. Well, first of all, MyUSA has a website, and each program is always different, so, you know, if you're older than 25, don't think, oh, my gosh, I'll never be able to go there, because they've done different exchanges with professionals and gone to China and Japan and things like that, Russia. So I would start at their website, which is www.miusa.org.
Okay. That's www.miusa.org.
Yes.
And even people as old as me could apply, huh?
That's right. You're not a day over 25, Marlena.
Oh, I really like this young lady. Well, Mika, if people would like to write to you, may they do that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Could you give your email address?
Yes, my email address is Ms. Mika, that's MSMEKA, at bellsouth.net.
That's Ms. Mika, MSMEKA, at bellsouth.net.
Yes.
Before we conclude, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that I haven't asked you, or anything that you'd like to share with Blind Spot folks?
I would just like to say, first of all, I just wanted to thank everyone that I emailed, because I used to send out these mass emails, I'm going to Costa Rica. And I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who has called me and spoken Spanish to me, like Charlie Crawford. And just thank all of you for just really being so encouraging to me. And also, I really would suggest that if you are interested in something like this, do it, because you will never come back the same. And one of Mobility International's phrases is actually their motto, which I think is just absolutely fantastic, is challenge yourself and change the world.
Mika, thank you for sharing your story with us this week on Blind Spot. And I hope that the more you tell this story of this great adventure, the more you will inspire and motivate other people, young or old, to do the same thing. Go out, work together, share what we know, share what works, and learn from others what they've done, what works for them. You know, that's really what advocacy is all about. We only create change by reaching out, taking hands, holding hands, and working together hand in hand. And I think that that's what MyUSA seems to be all about. Again, let me give the website for MyUSA. It's www.miusa.org. Look at the website, get involved, and participate. Mika, in the event that your Costa Rican homestay family and Costa Rican friends are able to listen to Blind Spot, first, let me give them a very special welcome. And then let me ask you if there's anything that you might like to say to them as we conclude this week's program.
Yes, I would say, Vilma, I really appreciated everything, the way that you opened up your home and shared everything with me. And Marcela, you will be my sister forever, because I really love you a lot and I really appreciate everything.
Been listening to Blind Spot on ACB Radio. Thanks to our technical people, Chris Bell, for making the music happen, and Jonathan Mosen for making the program possible. If you have any ideas for something you might like to hear on Blind Spot, drop me an email. It's Marlena, MARLAINA, @acbradio.org.